government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Prince, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this September the 9th, 2009, on the West Coast. Now on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, it's September the 10th, 2009. We'd also like to say welcome to anyone who's listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network, as well as on blogtalkradio.com. Well, before we bring tonight's guest on, just a little bit of news here, and I'm sure we're going to dig into this and again, scrape the crud off of the truth tonight. Some of you may or may not have listened to the congressional speech that the long-legged Mac Daddy gave to the Congress this evening. Had the distinct impression that might have been taped earlier in the day. I don't know why I felt that. Just a feeling based on all the things that have been going on. Got a report very early this morning that the Secretary of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, had been arrested and taken to The Hague. Now, we don't know if that's true, but it certainly has a lot to do with the international money laundering and the theft of trillions of dollars that's still occurring. It was not mentioned in the speech. In fact, they did their little misdirection thing, and they spoke about how wonderful it would be to have health care. And there was a denial about taking out senior citizens through voluntary suicide based on their age and their illness. That was flat out denied. And one of the congressmen actually shouted out, "That's a lie." And then later he apologized. And I was incensed with the fact that he apologized because he told the truth when he said that. In fact, my impression of the speech was that it was nothing but lies. It was pure propaganda from beginning to end. And you can't tell me CNN, whose network I watched this thing on, happened to know exactly the moment in the speech when they would flash up the name of Ted Kennedy or Ted Kennedy's family and have all the graphics and everything prepared for this. It was so orchestrated, it stunk to high heaven. Of course, it's always been done that way. And so we mention that right now just to remind you that this is propaganda. I heard lie after lie after lie after lie from beginning to end. And then everyone applauded and stood up and screamed and cheered as you could see the sick faces that they had knowing that they were listening to lies, knowing that the country was again being deceived, or should I say still being deceived. But I'll say more for another night on that issue. And I found it very difficult to listen to the speech because I found myself more or less looking at all the mind control going on with the imagery and the pictures and voice inflection and those things. There was no substance to the words whatsoever. Absolutely not. And the Cheshire cat grin of Nancy Pelosi made me want to vomit. Fortunately for me, and my pets, I hadn't eaten dinner yet. So I didn't have anything to keep down. but if I had, believe me, I'd probably been late for the show tonight. I'd still be mopping it up. Another thing that comes to mind, and I think this will probably be a major topic on tonight's show. We have just invested, as a nation, $20 million moving members and supporters of Hamas, which is a terrorist organization from the Middle East, to the United States. This covers housing, food, and I quote, the whole enchilada. House Bill 1388 has been passed, and although there wasn't a mention of it on television, on CNN there was a small little ticker tape type stream that broadcast that this had taken place. We should be incensed that this is going on. However, I'll leave it to others. With that, we're going to bring on tonight's guest. He has his own radio show, A Marine's Disquisition, heard Monday through Friday on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. And that's around the world, and that's basically why Evident Footprints is being streamed around the world because of tonight's guest. He was introduced to me from the other side by a very dear mutual friend that he and Greg Evenson and I have, and that is Marianne Ponder. My good friend, former U.S. Marine, 1967 through 1977, and a patriot and a fighter for the truth, my good friend, Mr. Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be here. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, as they say. And no, I did not listen to Loudmouth MacDaddy's speech. I let others listen to the live presentation. I did not want to upset my one day out into the real world to get a real hot meal during the week with friends and have a glass of wine and enjoy just some fellowship with others instead of looking at the four walls of this adobe that I own and enjoyed the atmosphere, so to speak.
Now, you said adobe. Did you mean abode?
Abode? Abode.
Oh, okay. What's your impression on this House Bill 1388? I know you heard about this some time ago.
Oh, I watched this some time ago, and I've been up in arms about it since day one. And what really gets me about the passage of this bill is it is a travesty against the American people, especially those that pay their electric bills on time, their phone bills on time, buy gasoline, and pay all the other federal excise tax on so much that you do out there that you don't know is the real money that's being used in your taxes. The IRS money that is collected goes to pay the national debt only, and the debt is owed to the Queen of England. The money that you pay legally pay in collections, when you buy something that's got a federal tax on it, that money is what the government of the United States of Washington, D.C. utilizes, and it's a total travesty. That's why the Social Security money that you pay in has been ransacked and stolen away from you, and why it's not really a debt. I mean, it's not really bankrupt. The Social Security is... money has been taken away by Congress and spent in other ways. And the passage of this bill is nothing but an insult and a kick in the posterior to all of us. You want to get mad, ladies and gentlemen? You really want to get mad? Then you need to take a good hard look at what this bill is doing. If the immigrant is immigrant, we're talking about if an immigrant, regardless of where he comes from around the world, but primarily if he's coming from the Middle East, they can apply for Social Security insurance, Medicaid, and other benefits through the Social Security Department, okay? And they will get more money than a woman on Social Security who has worked in this United States of America that was working from 1944 to 2004 in collecting. Most women in America that have worked all their lives and have never married, or women that have married and their husband died numbers of years ago, she's only collecting about $791 per month because she was born between 1924 and a period of time going up from 1924 up for another for 24 years. And what's sad here, the catch-22, it's very interesting that the federal government will provide a single refugee from the Middle East a monthly allowance of $1,890. Get your pen out, because I ain't through. $1,890 for somebody that has never paid into Social Security. And each government refugee can also obtain $580 in social assistance, giving that immigrant who's never paid one dime into the system $2,470 a month. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a travesty on you, and yet you still vote these jerks in Washington. You still put them in office. They're supposed to represent you. They're supposed to look out for you, the American people. And here you are allowing this travesty that happened today come into the House, take the old plunger, reverse it, and stick it up your posterior to the point where all of these illegal immigrants that are coming in, and I call them illegal because they're coming here because Barack Hussein Obama wants them here. They're destroying this nation from within, just like Nikita Khrushchev said he would do in 1959. Give me your children for a decade, and I will conquer you from within. Nikita Khrushchev could not do what Barack Hussein Obama has done in the last 8 months.
Well, you're right. I agree. Now, calm down here. Calm down.
We're only into the show about 10 minutes, and I'm already crazy.
You know how I felt listening to this nonsense, and they call it a speech, and they're all applauding each other and standing up and cheering. And believe me, when you know about the corruption that these people are involved in, and how they portray each other on the screen, and I'm speaking about the media. The media is obviously complicit in this whole charade that's going on. They know what's going on. I know personally that you've sent my research out to all the media regarding many of these things, and you know, there's not a mention of it. I want to mention three things that are important. The most important issues before the Americans. I'm sort of paraphrasing what he said. And then he goes into health care. What about the theft of trillions of dollars? What about that? What about the murder of innocent children by the thousands, probably the millions every year? All the missing children and the poisoning of our foods and this scam of the bird flu. That's another issue I want to get into, too. While I'm listening to this speech, and even while I'm listening to you, you know, you're rekindling that anger that I had and the disgust that I had in listening to the lies. Outright lies. And anybody who's been down this path and studied any of what we've been talking about for the past few minutes, not to mention the past few years, certainly knows we're telling the truth in that regard. They're not going to start telling us the truth about anything, and it's just more lies and more lies and more lies. And there you see David Axelrod walking right behind him. All the symbology of how these people high-five each other and their gratuitous handshakes that mean absolutely nothing. It's like being in a viper pit watching that place. I'm serious. Now it's my time to rant.
Quite all right, it's your show.
I want to share something with you and the listening audience, because I wrote an article. I don't even remember when it was. Now it seems like it's been ages ago, but within the past 2 weeks, I wrote an article about the foreknowledge of IBM back in 2006, predicting with 100% certainty that there was going to be a flu pandemic. And they described how this flu pandemic was going to go down. And they made arrangements to, keep business going as usual, but they described quarantines and the waves of this going on, 12 weeks, and then a 3 to 4 month lapse in between a second wave that was to come again for another 3 months or 12 weeks. And I get this email from some guy that's pretending he's a Frenchman, okay? Of course, he didn't put a real name, and he didn't put his full name in the document. But I did a little bit of research, and darn if it didn't take me to Brussels, Belgium. And I tell you, they can't come out outright and say, you know, how did you get these documents? They're posing as some grassroots movement in France, which is a scam. The claim itself is a scam. There are a couple of references to this group, based on the email address, a total farce. And in actuality, this has something to do with UNIVAC. Okay, now a lot of people may recognize or recall the name UNIVAC and not be able to place where they heard it before. But UNIVAC is the Universal Automatic Computer. This was a project that is now owned by Sperry Rand Corporation. The Rand Corporation. That's the company that developed the nuclear boring machine, this tunneling machine that the Air Force uses to build the underground bases and the rapid transit tunnel systems that interconnect all these underground bases around the world, actually, not just here in the United States. And I found it interesting that this guy couldn't be up front. He darn well knows it's a genuine document, but he's trying to find out who gave me the document. And, you know, of course, they want to publish this, but they have to verify its authenticity and get my feelings about the document. Well, I've done a number of radio shows on it already. You know that, Drew. We talked about this on your show. You've heard me talk about it, I don't know, 10 times on my show at least.
On your show 10 times, on my show at least twice, unless I was sleeping. Of course, I might have been sleeping that afternoon.
Well, the pre-planned pandemic is basically disclosed in this document. And I'm not so stupid to think that this is a real organization. I mean, there's absolutely no such organization that exists other than a few bogus web pages that they've put up on the internet, and they reference this group. And the name is not important at the moment. But what's interesting is that a little bit of research on this clown that gave me his first and his middle name, he used his middle name as his last name. It only took me a moment to come up with a surname for him. And then the first document I opened said microbiology. Isn't that interesting? The odds of that are staggering, and yet these people are giving themselves away left and right, probably to try to undermine the damage that's been done, because this is a true document that they created, and how it came into my hands is really none of their business, as far as I'm concerned. If I weigh the copyright, well, I give total credit to IBM Corporation. The copyright's right there in the document. I didn't hide it. So when I weigh that against billions of lives that could potentially be lost through the reception of this vaccine, then I choose getting the word out to the people. There's no question about that. Yet they have to now go into damage control and, you know, try to attack the messengers. They've been doing that to you recently since you were on the show. I think the last time we were talking about this very topic, were we not? About how they're attacking the messengers?
I thought it was, we just continuing the show. I didn't know it was the last time.
Yes. Yes. And it's pretty pathetic how they do it, too. They're not very good at lying. For instance, any Frenchman will capitalize the word French or France or Francais or France. They will capitalize it. Yet this idiot used a lowercase f. I mean, so it leads one to think that, okay, it's just an incompetent Intel person. And then
I got an IM here from Paris, from a Marine over there. He says, the only Frenchman that puts the term France in lowercase is a Frenchman that's mad at France and is trying to trash it. But even when they're mad, it's hard for them to take their language, and trash the language because they know it's somebody that's just in office and they're looking for a guillotine.
Well, I'll respond to that message by saying, oui, c'est vrai. So, c'est vrai et c'est tout. It's true. It's true. Yes. Now, what's interesting is the email address was redaction.univac@gmail.com. And I'm sure all the French people are using Gmail these days. But it was interesting how it led me straight to Brussels. That's the point I want to make. And the first document that had this person's full name, as I had found it, led me to this document and the fact that he works at the University of Brussels and that he's on the board of this organization. And this is the IoT half of that IBM IoT document, okay? And they're talking about the new internet, and then they're going into all kinds of discussions about what they're going to do. It's amazing. This stuff is out there, and I guess if you're just looking for it, you don't find it under a topic. But if you have a name that you can grab onto, it opens a whole can of worms. So I would say they're scrambling. They're scrambling to do damage control. Did I do the damage? No. IBM did it when they put that document out. No doubt about it. And really, you know, several people have referred to it as a smoking gun. It's a smoking cannon. It's a smoking cannon, okay? It actually shows that whatever the press puts out, whatever the media, mainstream media puts out about a flu pandemic, and that includes the World Health Organization and the CDC and any other international body, the UN, we might as well throw in there. There's no validity to it. The only way it can become a pandemic is if you take the vaccine and expose yourself to a live virus in your bloodstream. That's how you're going to get sick. And there's a likelihood that you can die from it. Now, we can't even trust the figures they're giving out. We can't trust the figures about unemployment. How can you trust the figures about who died from the bird flu or the swine flu? And this beating the drum of, you know, four more cases were discovered, four more deaths in Ohio or 18 deaths in New York, and we don't get one name for any of these people. Don't you think we deserve to know who these people are? Well, we're not getting the names because they're not dying, I would presume. It's sort of like not getting the birth certificate, you know? So, any comment, Drew, before we move on to something else?
I just want to know if you tested that can of worms to see if you can get a good bass on it.
Well, I didn't have my hook, line, and sinker. So,
ladies and gentlemen, I put a little humor out there because I'm so disgusted that I could lose 10 pounds in regurgitation fluid if I were to listen to this long-legged magdaddy, so I refuse to listen to him live. Because there's nothing I can say or do, and there's other people that's got better minds. I'm not a talk show host. I'm just an everyday American citizen that had the privilege and the honor to serve in the United States Marine Corps honorably for 10 years. I left the Corps because of the corruption at the top, so to speak, the lies and the backstabbing. And the fact that in the lower ranking personnel, and I mean lower ranking, I'm talking about the PSC, the Lance Corporal, the Corporal, and the Sergeants, they didn't understand that they were just a ploy. They were just toys being shoved around, and higher ranking officers were using their jealousy to the jealousy of the lower ranking personnel to go after their commanding officers. To basically take them down, because the higher ranking facade was really out there in a political situation. It was all politics. And once I found out the real truth of the higher echelon of the military at peacetime, Marine Corps, I couldn't stomach it. And therefore I walked away. Am I ashamed that I walked away? No. Do I regret walking away? No. Would I like to have stayed in and served this country and made the Marine Corps a full career? Yes, 100%. But how can you stay and work when you've got a change of employer, not a change of the senior employer, but every time you get a change of duty station, you're basically changing management. And in changing management, these people have control over your life for years. You don't get fired. You get demoted. And because of the situation in the military, when you get demoted, it may take you years to get your next pay raise, so to speak. So, I wasn't going to be under the pressure. My great-great-uncle, Major General Smedley Darlington Butler, he saw it. And in the last years of his illustrious career, and he was turned down from being the commandant of the Marine Corps because of the jealousy of the President of the United States, Herbert Hoover, who, as a second lieutenant, the future Major General Medley Darlington Butler, as a second lieutenant, found this future President of the United States hovering down with the women dressed as a woman in the basement of the American Embassy in the Peking during the Boxer Rebellion. Major General Smedley Darlington Butler saw the coward that became the president and understood that it was all politics. And people were groomed for 20, 30 years. The power to be behind the curtain is grooming who's going to be the president. For many of you out there that are 18, when you turn 48, they already know who's going to be the president. You're not electing anybody anymore. It's the people behind the scenes that are doing all the electing. But right now, they're walking around shaking in their boots, Don, because the people has had enough around America. It is now April the 15th, 1775, and marching forward to April the 19th when Lexington and Concord took the bullets. We are right now today that close to civil war in this nation. And I say this not with trepidation. I say this from the experience of being out here for 18 years trying to educate you, the American people, spending a small fortune, a personal fortune of my own money, giving up two solid careers just in the last 18 years, much less giving away the career of the Marine Corps. And here I stand on the ninth day of the ninth month of the ninth year of the 21st century, and all I hear about is people worry that the world is coming to an end, that the evil 666 is here, and there's nothing we can do about it. We might as well take our heads and stuff it, that the world is going to turn on its axis, and the only people that are going to be left are the ones that's going to be in those caves, those tunnels, and those underground bases. But I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible, God's Word, told us that the earth is going to shake like never before in modern, in known history, in man's written history. And when this earth shakes that bad, all these people out there in those caves, I guarantee you a lot of them are going to die instantly because these caves are going to crush in on them. All these underground bases are going to crash in on them. Not all of them, but there are a good percentage of them. And a lot of people that are disappearing out here and being placed into those caves, not voluntarily, they're being housed and turned into slaves. I have big-time questions. Right now, we've got over 4 aircraft in the last 2 years handling an onboard complement of 200 and above, a minimum of 147 and a maximum of 247, disappear, and there's a few bodies, a few pieces of luggage that are recovered. Well, are those few bodies, are those the bodies of men and women that put up a fight in a takeover of the aircraft, in the movement of the people that were in those aircraft to turn them into slaves for this new world order? I don't know. I mean, it's so fantastic, Don. And I lay here and I pray and I wonder, where are we going? And when I really get down and out, Don, I go and grab my Bibles, and I will open it up to the last chapter and read the last verses of the Bible for comfort, knowing that we win. And that's where I stand.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I don't know if you heard my show last night, but...
Which one? Hold it! Hold the fort! Hold it!
My
Ladies
show.
And gentlemen, Don didn't have a show last night. He had 2 shows. He started a show at 10 o'clock. At 8 o'clock Central Standard Time on one network. Took a tea break or coffee break or whatever he does before his show. And then came on this network and did another show. All in the course of a continuing, basically almost 4 full hours.
Yeah, it was closer to 3.5, I think. But
then he came on my show yesterday and did 30-minute rant.
Yeah. Well, I was answering questions, I think, wasn't I?
I hope, pray you were.
You know what you're saying is true, and I went into that topic maybe in a little bit different sense last night, but I was talking about God and all the things that we're experiencing, which are evil because it's this cabal's way of trying to mimic God or recreate God through technology. And the technology always fails, doesn't it? The cars that they build fail. The steel they construct, I mean, they can bring down 210-story skyscrapers, each with 47 columns of concrete-reinforced steel, and those buildings can fall and turn to powder and dust. And yet, I said this last night, I remember saying this, that their empire is collapsing, and it's turning to dust and even finer particles than what they did on 9/11. It's going to happen. I see it happening. I see us vanquishing in this bird swine flu pandemic ruse that they're playing. I see us coming out on top on this. They may inject some people. You know, they may succeed in injecting the military, but eventually this is going to stop. The anger and the hatred for these people is going to increase to the level where people are just not going to put up with it anymore.
Don, I will give you kudos. I give everybody in Informational Freedom Radio Network kudos, specifically people like BBS Radio, Blog Talk Radio, American Voice Radio, GCN Radio, RBN Radio, Truth Radio, Dixie Radio. These guys, the talk shows out there, people like Greg Evans, who's traveling around the United States, the word is out there You said the military may be infected. Well, the military may be, but I got news for you. When vitamin D3 sales have quadrupled in the last 2 months, quadrupled in each one of the four major manufacturers that are putting out vitamin D3, and the people that are advertising on all of these networks and putting out information for colloidal silver making devices and schematics to make your own colloidal silver device have more than 10 times the link on my own website for the schematic for a colloidal silver machine that you can build in yourself without the silver for less than $20. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's out there. You just learn the truth. And all of these things are happening. The military specifically, I've got a number of sons and daughters of Marines who are now leaders of Marines. They're sons and daughters of Marines that are retiring, that served with me in Vietnam. All you have to do is do the math. Those of us that served in Vietnam in 1967, 68, 69, 70, 71, we were 18 to 25 at that time. Ladies and gentlemen, that was 40 years ago. So our children that were born to us before we went to Vietnam and during Vietnam and when we came home from Vietnam, our children are 30 from ranging from age 30 to 40 years of age. And therefore, many of them who took out a career in the military, they too are retiring from the military because they've done their 20. Does it take math to figure out if they didn't go to college to become an officer in any one of the branches of the service or took leave from an active duty service to go back to college to become an officer? Those men and women are at the level of how many years? It doesn't take rocket science. If they were 18, they're 38 when they retire. If they joined at the age of 13, if they joined at the age of 20, they're 40 years old. If they went from high school directly to college, served 4 years in college, and maybe they took a little hiatus during the college year, and it took them 5 years to get their degree, which that's about the average, 5 years to get their degree to go into officer school. Those men and women right now today are 43 years old. Well, 43 years old from right now, that puts them up there in that category. They're retiring. It doesn't take rocket science to look at the math and see who the top echelon officers are in all branches of the service, and you hear them say they've got 40 years. They've got 40 years of service. Well, that kind of eliminates the children of those of us that served in Vietnam.
Yeah. Hey, Drew, don't mean to interrupt you. We've got a call. Would you like to talk to one of our listeners?
I'll talk to anybody as long as they're not slinging mud.
Okay.
Because I got a water hose and I'll water it down.
Okay. I understand we have Bob from Colorado on the line. Bob, what's on your mind this evening?
How you doing, Don and Drew? I love the show. I just called in. You talked about, you know, our government and the illegals and Hamas and all the billions of dollars.
I'm glad you called in, man. I am really glad you called in because right now, according to my math, with what's happened today with the passage of this bill, we're looking at spending a minimum of $1.2 billion a year for all these immigrants coming in from the Middle East that are basically pro-Hamas people, to a maximum of $3 billion a year in benefits. Of your money.
Let Bob finish his comment here, Drew.
I have an interesting story to tell you. I'm a Navy veteran. I went in when I was 17, and I've been to the wars, and I got out early. I didn't care for the culture of wartime or peacetime military. I'm one of those people that doesn't like being told what to do, but I've worked hard all my life. I'm kind of crippled as of about 10 or 15 years ago. I injured my back, and I've tried to get help for the situation, but because I'm a male Anglo-Saxon, it seems to be there's no help in the works. So I've raised the kids and homeschooled three kids, and my wife has worked in sales. Her last job was at CVS in marketing, and she was fired from that job because we've handed out at least 10,000 9/11 truth DVDs, vaccinations, fluoride, so on and so forth, the Federal Reserve. So my wife and I are basically blacklisted. The unemployment's going to run out, and then we're going to lose our home. So just for the hell of it, we went down to our local county office. We live in Uruguay County in the mountains of western Colorado, and asked if they could help us. And then because we don't have any children in the house, there's no welfare. And again, it was kind of inferred that we're white Anglo-Saxons and that there's really no help for us. But if we do lose our home and we are homeless and living in our car, that they will give us $249 a month in food stamps. Now, my wife and I sat down with the legal pad and figured out over the course of our adult lives, we've paid nearly somewhere between $800,000 and $900,000 in taxes and interest on mortgages and automobiles. We've worked hard all our lives and contributed whopping amounts of cash to all the governments of every place we've ever lived in this country. And when the shit finally hits the fan, pardon my letting that go on the air.
We don't use words like fan on this
show. They'll give us $249 a month in food stamps. And I'm at the point where I'm so frickin' pissed off at Obanga and the Congress and the Senate, the local city council, the county commissioners, everybody. They're all hoodlums and thugs and thieves. And I will never be more than a foot or two from a loaded rifle for the rest of my life. And I will not starve to death. And I will not be put out into the street. And it's hard talk, but I'm hearing lots of hard talk from a lot of people around here. Things are tough.
Bob, you're emanating words from the mountains of Colorado that are echoing through the swamps of Louisiana. Men and women in Louisiana that are personal cousins of mine, first, second, and third, and even fourth cousins. And many of you out there are hard pressed to know who your fourth cousins are. You don't know what Cajun people are like. We know who our fourth cousins are. We know where our fourth cousins live. We come to the aid of our fourth cousins. And
yeah,
I feel for you, Bob, because in the bayous of Louisiana, there are places down there where people have placed their homes, you know, out of the swamps and come out of the swamps to build nice homes under the modern standards, and they have paid their taxes, and just like you, they've sat down and put the pencil down on the paper, and they come up, and maybe they haven't paid $800,000 in taxes in their situation, but they put the pedal to the metal, and they understand that, wait a minute here, I've paid over $250,000 or $500,000 into the state taxes of the state of Louisiana, and I can't get help. I've been laid off by Shell Oil. I've been laid off by Exxon. I've been laid off by the drilling services company, and some of them are saying, I'm not gonna, I was born and raised in this parish. I'm not moving to Arkansas to tear up the forest of Arkansas to drill. I'm not moving to North Dakota or eastern Montana to drill in the barren lands of that state. When it gets so cold in the wintertime that your panties kind of freeze to your posterior. They don't want to move. They want to stay right there in Louisiana. They're not asking for handouts. And you don't sound like a man that's asking for hands out.
Well,
and they, too, have got their guns loaded and at the doorstep.
I would like some of what I've paid back. I would like the percentage of my tax money that they've squandered. I'd like the percentage of my tax money that's been stolen. I'd like the percentage of my tax money that's been given to Israel. Comprende?
Bob, can I ask you a question? In light of what you're talking about, and, you know, I don't know if you're actually facing foreclosure. If you are, I'm going to put you in touch with somebody who can give you some advice on what you can do about that.
Just a matter of time is what the situation is.
Right.
I mean, we can eke down, we can sell off our possessions and our rings and our watches and, you know, I have an ATV. Of course, I use it to plow snow, so I can't sell that. But we're in the position of beginning to sell things to make house payments. We've actually dropped the house. Ours is a $500,000 house. We've actually dropped the price of it nearly $200,000, and people won't even come look at it. People can't get loans. People with 850 credit score can't get money to buy houses. The banks aren't lending money. All the bailout money, it's going offshore.
We've reported that quite often.
We used to live in Southern California, and if you go down to Mexico, you know, the first of the month, you know, the Eagle squats, and then the Social Security checks go out. On about the third or fourth or the fifth of the month, drive through any town in Mexico, and you'll see a line with hundreds and hundreds of people in it. And the first time I saw that, what the hell's going on? What are all those people doing in line? Oh, that's Social Security money. All these people down in Mexico that never contributed a frickin' dime are all on SSI pensions, disability pensions. But because I'm a white, Christian, conservative, veteran, you know, I've fought in the wars for this country. I've had good men bleed out and die in my arms. And if I'm living in my car, they'll give me $249 a month in food stamps. I'm telling you, I've got a very, very short fuse. It's not a half inch long.
Now, how does all this make you feel in light of the fact that there have been people for a number of years? We could go back to the days before the Vietnam War when people were living off the government, housing, whether it's food stamps or vouchers. You know, they went from food stamps to vouchers at some point, as if that changed the whole picture. And they're paid to have babies, unwed mothers, without ever working a day in their life. How does that make you feel, knowing what you've put into the system?
Hispanics will have 8 to 10 kids on a good day, but if you pay them an extra $200 a month per kid, they'll go ahead and have 15 or 20. I mean, I used to live in Southern California. I remember when it used to be a beautiful place to live. You could find a place to park. It's changed.
Yeah.
We
and you didn't need a shovel to get the trash out of the way to go into the restaurant.
It's getting bad. But Drew was talking about, you know, these bunkers they have that they've dug in out of the ground. We've all seen pictures of on the Internet. Would you like to hear some prophecy about that from the Scripture?
Yes, sir.
Amos chapter 9, verse 2. Though they dig into hell, thence shall my hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Mount Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they hide from me from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. So, you know, these bunkers, Cheney's got his own bunker. Down in Paraguay, Bush has a bunker. I Googled his property in Paraguay, and there were rows of ventilation stacks for his tunnel system.
Well, there's an underground base there, no doubt.
And I told a friend about it, and we went on Google Earth to look at it, and it's all been blocked now. All it took was one person looking at it, and then Google Earth blocked it.
I actually found that a couple of years ago. So they probably you were the one that tipped the bucket, so to speak.
But anyway, you know, all these times were foretold. I'm angry about it. I would love to do something about it. I would love to man the barricades. I would love to get a rope. These times were foretold, and we're seeing it all happen, but it doesn't make me feel any better about it. It doesn't make me feel any better about it at all. But anyway, I just had to rant.
Well, I appreciate your call, Bob, and seriously, if you're facing foreclosure, you get in touch with me. I will connect you with someone that has a very astute plan for those that are in such circumstances. And it makes a lot of sense, too. And you have a way of fighting back. And I'll share that with you privately off the air.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You have a good evening.
You too.
There you go, Drew. You see?
Hey, Bob, let's give him a minute to get off the air and get his radio turned back on. This isn't just for Bob. A lot of people out there, like today, I had 35,000 hits on my website today. My website's located in Australia. Megan Love, my webmaster, she keeps screaming, Drew, what are you doing? That's so funny. It's amazing that people around the world are looking for truth. And I really appreciate Bob bringing the attention of Amos, chapter 9, verse 2, forward, because he's right on point. And I believe him when he says that he went on Google Earth and found this and then told somebody else about it. But he wasn't the only one that looked at it. He may have been one of the last to look at it. But it was getting too popular. And too many people were going there. It's just like looking at the SWAT sticker at Balboa Naval Base in Balboa Island in San Diego, where the buildings were put together, and all you had to do was fly at an altitude of about 2,000 feet, just 2,000 feet. And look down, and there you could see the swastika on a United States Navy intelligence base in Balboa Island, San Diego.
Yeah, they built it in the shape of a swastika is what they did.
And yes, and it's been there, and all of a sudden, you know, people would fly over it in military personnel like myself, who have that at one time had a private pilot's license. And would fly over that base, and you could look down and see it. But nobody would believe us. And then all of a sudden, Google Earth comes up and shoots a picture, and some astute individual like Bob decided that, wait a minute here, I think I better save that. And they found a way to save it on their computer using a software program, and it got plastered everywhere. And now the Navy has gone in and cut out several of the buildings to where it doesn't look like it's a SWAT sticker anymore.
Well, they claimed they were going to do that. I don't know if they did. But
They did. I got firsthand information.
Yeah, they used the excuse that they didn't realize it looked like that. Now, what architect is going to build a structure like that on a military base and not give an overhead view of what it looks like?
It's just an overhead conception of what the building's going to look like, okay? They're going to have there isn't anybody out there that's an architect that puts together a building that doesn't have a schematic setting forth what the building looks like from all four sides and the top.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just like what the Air Force says about UFOs. You know, they say there's nothing they don't understand about UFOs. Therefore, UFOs don't exist.
Well, the United States Air Force has got a big fight on their hands because the Chinese actually caught, night before last, through an eclipse, they actually got 40 minutes of a captured video of an identified flying object.
An identified
flying object, meaning that it was an extraterrestrial flying object.
Did they post that?
I want to let all you guys out there know that from my website that Megan Love keeps shouting, calm down, Drew. Calm down. Too many people are coming to the site. It's not too many people, ladies and gentlemen. It's just the University of Australia is starting to look at this little mini old rinky-dink website over there that is embedded four deep, and it's being attacked every day. It's being attacked. It cannot be taken down. And there's over 5,000 hits a day on attacking the Australian University's website to take my website down. And because it's set up in Moodle, they can't get in there. They can't go through it because Moodle protects everything in the hacker format. And they've not been able to get all the way in to my website. They can basically shut down the Australian university's power, and the site goes down. But as far as going in and changing my website, they were able to do it one time, and that was within the first 90 days of its creation. They can't do it now. They haven't been able to do it.
Hmm.
No. And my website, ladies and gentlemen, is the three W's. AMD, that's A Marines Disposition, AMD dot Echo Lima, and the word equity .com. And for Bob, specifically Bob, and anybody else out there, rest assured, I read my emails diligently, as fast as most of them come in. Right now, I have not read my emails in 4 hours. I took a nap. I kind of got back from having my pizza, and I lay down and took a nap. Forgive me for taking a nap, ladies and gentlemen. But I've got 353 emails in the last 4 hours. A lot of it is just news that Marines around the world are sending to me. We don't want to talk about the 3,000 spam emails that came in. That are just ignorant stuff, but fortunately I have a filter that blocks those and puts them off into another category. But my email address is Drew, D-R-E-W, just like you drew a picture, D-R-E-W, Rains, like raining from the clouds, Rains, R-A-I-N-E-S, Rains, Drew Rains, @yahoo.com. And you can send me an email, Bob. I work every morning. I give 4 to 5 hours to Dr. Felix Taylor, a former law professor at the University of Arkansas Law School in Little Rock. And we work with farmers that can't get help. We work with city dwellers that can't get help in helping them do everything they can to stay in their homes. And I'm going to get with Don and to maybe offer our little research expertise, specifically mine, in helping the individual that has also got knowledge that can help you, because we don't want anybody to lose their homes. And just like you said, Bob, I'm tired of the fact that we've been paying all this money all these years supporting local governments, and here we are having to pay every year the privilege to own our home. And if we don't pay the privilege to own our home, the government's going to come in and take it away from us. In some places, like in Louisiana, they take your home if you are 3 months late, and they auction that sucker off and sell it. And the buyer then has a home that you may have bought and paid for 50, 100, or a quarter of $1 million. And it's auctioned off on the courthouse steps, and somebody, some astute individual down there might buy it for $1,500 for the taxes that are owed. The taxes on my mother's house per year is $500. The family has to put that money up. Now, one of the nice things about Louisiana, if you live in Louisiana, once you turn 65 years old, your taxes are forgone. There's no more taxes on your house. You don't have yearly taxes. But if you're under 65, the first $500,000 value, the first $500,000 appraised value, is forgiven. It's homesteaded. So you don't pay taxes on that.
And you know,
I'll tell you, Don, we've got it just like what Bob was saying, and just like what's your friend with that comes on every week? I think Adossi.
Ken Adachi.
Ken Adachi. Just like Ken Adachi and his website and information he puts out there. We've got a network. We've got to unite as Americans, Anglo-white Americans. And we've got to unite together with those men and women out there of other races, other colors. Men like Dr. David J. Manning.
James David Manning.
James David Manning. I'm sorry. Dr. James David Manning. And we've got to unite with men that are that have got the knowledge that Dr. James David Manning has in uniting. And he has no animosity because he's a black man living in Harlem. I have no animosity toward any man because of his race, creed, or color, or nationality. Period. I was raised that way as a Louisianian, as a Cajun from the Bayous, to respect all people. And we've got to unite, Don, to help each other, to help our brothers. Because God's wrath, we are not even the tip of a pin on the backside of a flea on a beetle, on a toy poodle, on a planet, when you compare our size to how big this universe is. There are planets out there that are bigger than our own little galaxy.
I don't know if I would describe it exactly like you just did, but I agree with you.
I got a lot of alligators in the swamp. I have to fight through them.
Speaking of alligators, I noticed that through your few rants that you had on tonight's show, the crickets and the frogs in the background don't seem to mind it whatsoever.
Animals love my place, man. They come here and it's like a refuge. Birds are flocked to my place. They just literally are all over the place. I do a radio show, and I can walk out and look out my window, and there'll be four or five different birds out there, redbirds, blue jays, sparrows, blackbirds, kind of commingling together. And they're out there grabbing the mosquitoes and the gnats. I don't have a martin group of martin houses, even though I got a swamp less than 200 yards down the road that's got plenty of water. But I've got the neighbors in the neighborhood that have martin boxes, and the martins kind of keep the mosquitoes down, especially at night. I can walk out my front door and I can look around, and a lot of people think they're bats, but they are. They're martins out there eating their fill of mosquitoes. So I don't have a lot of mosquitoes around my house. So the animals don't mind my rant. They know that I'm telling the truth.
Well, you got. It sounds like you got a collection of two-legged bug zappers, is what you got.
Yeah, and I don't have to go buy any of that stuff at the market.
Yeah. Well, Drew, we got a few minutes here before we close the show.
You're going to close the show? I didn't know that you had an open key closed mic.
Well, we're gonna turn the power off. How's that?
No, I understand that.
What from everything that's going on? Okay, we had this speech yesterday. Okay, by the way, I should mention that, and I kind of alluded to it at the top of the show, that there has been some behind the scenes shuffling on an international level regarding these bank payouts for these prosperity programs, and. I'm certainly going to be looking at more information. I know you're interviewing Bob Chapman on your show tomorrow, if that's still going on every Thursday. And I'd be interested in having you ask him what he's hearing about this dimension of the international powers coming down on the releasing of these funds. And this involves Homeland Security. It involves the Judge Advocate General and certainly Bernanke and Geithner have been mentioned, not just by Casper in his reports at 4winds10.com, but Christopher Story has also written about this. In fact, his last article was entitled Bernanke, it basically is responsible. I'm paraphrasing it because I don't have it in front of me, but Bernanke was the one that was preventing the payouts from occurring.
Personally, I put it on my News and Views day before yesterday.
Yeah, well, I was interested in getting some feedback from Bob Chapman when you talked to him.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll pull the Christopher Story article.
Yeah, I got that on my site, too, by the way. It's on the news page. So if for whatever reason somebody can't get into Christopher's site, it's on my site.
Oh, well, by the way, I got an IM here, and I want to let everybody know, when you go to my website, the 3Ws, amd.elequity.com, you're going to get that specific day's news and views for that day only. If you want to look at the last 5 years of news and views, that basically is on an average of 6 days a week. At one time, I was doing 7 days a week, sometimes two news and views a day. You can go to the top right-hand corner and just push on archives of news and views. And that's just the written section. There's no radio shows up there under archives. There's an archive section for the radio shows, but the archives for the written news, you can go back to 2005 when this website was first created, and you can look at articles that show exactly where we're at. Links to articles unless that website has disappeared, unless the newspaper has taken it off the permanent link, articles that will blow you away, just like what Don was talking about with his articles and the money laundering out there. And the fact that we're not talking about a little money, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe, I remember back in 1994 when I first heard that there was something in the neighborhood of, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this number. This is going to blow you away. Of only $700 million that was being attempted to be brought forth, and it was with the interest and everything at that point, it totaled a little over $2 billion. But at that point, with the interest at $2 billion, can you imagine what the interest on $2 billion a day compounded daily adds up to be? We're talking about hundreds of trillions of dollars 20 years later. And people have gone to jail. People have died. People have been disappeared, Arkansas-ized, fed to gators, thrown into outer space, thrown down volcanoes for their knowledge of what this money laundering and this theft of money is sitting out there. There's people that are in jail right now, still in jail. And I want to thank all the Marines out there that are starting to look, the retired Marines, that are starting to look at these prisons around the United States to locate military personnel that are coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq, serving honorably. And they're coming back here, and the government is scared of them, and they're putting them in these low-level detention facilities, and they're telling them that's for their safety. There's no safety out there. Benjamin Franklin said, if you're willing to give up a little safety, you have no liberty.
Now, are these guys still active, the ones you're talking about, or are they retired?
They're active duty.
It's amazing what's going on. Well, we have to, I mean, there's a lot that we have to take care of, and we have to stand up to it, and you do it a piece at a time. Just the way they do it. They do it a piece at a time.
I need to chime back on what Bob was read from Amos chapter 9, verse 2.
Go ahead.
Verse 2 through 10. People that are listening to this show, stop and think about this. Think about the spin of the earth going around the sun and it takes 365 days to travel around the sun as it spins. It takes 24 hours a day for the earth to rotate, to just rotate in its spot, and 365 days a year to rotate around the sun. But the moon doesn't rotate. It sits out there stationary. Is the moon really? Stop and think about it. Is the moon dust and dirt, or is it a man-made object? Maybe not man-made by the sense of man-made from this planet, but it's a sphere, and we only see one side of it. We don't. The moon stays there. It doesn't move. It doesn't rotate. It's just like a satellite that we launch into space, like Google Earth. That satellite stays stationary on this planet, but the planet itself rotates. Stop and think about what's out here, and realize that God created this heaven. And that's what we're with this Eden. That's what Earth is. It is God's Garden of Eden. Anybody out there that has got their head up their posterior to think that God created this massive universe, that just in our own galaxy there's over 240 million planets that are capable of having a lot sustainable life.
Try a trillion.
Well, I can only find 240 million that I can actually have been able to document through sciences. They estimate there's trillions, but they've found, i.e., science astronomers have found 200 together, have accumulated over 240 million that live at the same atmospheric or has the possible same atmospheric conditions as this planet. That's got the same relevance to its own star, rotates approximately 365 days a year, and has possible sustainable life. Who is it to say that God has not done this before? And here we are, and these other planets out there that Don personally has personal knowledge of, has gotten phone calls from leaders in this confederation. And you have to stop and think about where we are, and we've got to stop. We've got a network, and there's Bob out there. He's tired of paying into a system all his life, and his wife paying into the system, and he's probably raised a couple of kids honorably. And it's hard to go to our kids and say, I'm losing my house, can you help me, without destroying your house. And stop and think about those of us out here that have children. I don't, but others have got children losing their houses and moving back home with mom and dad with their children. My next door neighbor, retired nurse, 67 years old. When I first bought the house that I have, right, that I'm in right here in Little Rock, Arkansas, that girl was 16 years old, that daughter. And B had her mother live in that little bitty rinky dink 1,200 square foot house with her. That her mother has passed away, and now B's daughter has come back home to roost with the three of her own kids at the age of 36. And here's B. She's an older lady. She thought she could retire and live peacefully. Now she is a grandmother, and she's got rugrats running around her house. Because her daughter can't afford to pay rent or paper for a house that she lost in a divorce.
Drew,
it's sad, Don. It's really sad.
Let me ask you a hypothetical question here.
I got a hypothetical answer.
Okay. Imagine what you know about God. What those of us that know God to some extent. Are asking ourselves this question. would a God that created this universe, this incomprehensible universe, it's so large, it's so massive, as you were saying, with all of its wonders and all of its miracles, would he create us and give us life for the privilege of not having a place to live? That's the question.
He gave us free will. And in the free will, instead of living freely, our ancestors pleaded to have a God in the flesh. And God gave man a God in the flesh, and he called it government. And the kings of governments. We just have to look at the verbiage that was used 2,000 and 4,000 years ago and convert it to the verbiage in the language of today. It's like the original intent of a constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Northwest Treaties and the Declaration of Independence. If you were to take those documents, type them into your computer, take the conversion factor that MIT professors, and I'm not talking about MIT in Boston, I'm talking about Missouri Institute of Technology, developed in conversion of languages and converting modernizing languages of history to today, and you were to put them in that software package and convert them around, you would have the true meaning and the true intent of what the founding fathers of this nation are, and you will find out real fast that our government, the people that are sitting in Washington, D.C., are traitors. Literal traitors. And dishonoring the Constitution and the original intent of the Constitution. To the point where they've got professors out there from Columbia University, Harvard University, that are disputing the simple language of the Second Amendment to the point where, well, they want to write, well, the Second Amendment does not mean that you have a right to keep and bear arms. The First Amendment does not mean that you have absolute right of free speech. But if you look at the verbiage and the original intent of the Founding Fathers, you do have the right of free speech, as long as it's not slanderous, as long as it's not defamation of one's character. You do have the right to keep and bear arms for your personal safety. And the American people have the right to keep and bear arms, not for to fight the American Indians, not to fight the black men, the runaway slaves, but to protect themselves from the government and those that are in government, because those men so eloquently understood that we have tyrants in that day. We would have tyrants in the future. And corruption and tyranny is developed through greed and jealousy to control. Many of you blame King George for his atrocities on the colonies. King George did not create the atrocities. King George was the leader of Great Britain, the largest, strongest nation of its day, with the most powerful weapons of his time. King George, he just put the name down and signed the documents. Lord North controlled what happened in the colonies. Lord North brought forth the tyranny on the colonies. Not all in one day. It took years and years. And that's what's been happening right here. People like Marianne Ponder, Theodore Ted Jones, Frank Hayes, the gunsmith, other men, that have put their lives and their fortunes on the line in modern times, in the last 15 years, and died, and made it look like everything, like Frank over here in West Little Rock. He committed suicide with a shotgun, with a barrel length of 46 inches, a barrel length. He could not reach his thumb down to the trigger with the barrel under his head and his neck. There's no way. But he, according to the William Jefferson Clinton cronies, he did. And killed himself. But he was Arkansas-ized. Those of us in the Patriot Movement know it. Theodore Ted Jones was murdered by an informationalist that was planted into his house. And he was Arkansas-ized. Two little boys out here in West Little Rock were murdered on a railroad track by a train. You're trying to tell me that two boys got a little marijuana in their system and lay down on a train track and couldn't hear the train?
Yeah, the coroner said they fell asleep on the tracks.
In a stupor. I got a personal friend in California, and I called him up. This man right now is 64 years old. I met him in 1975. He still lives in that little house about 30 miles due west of Santa Ana, California. And ladies and gentlemen, Santa Ana, California is one of the largest cities in Orange County. It is also the county seat. It is just south of Los Angeles. He still lives 30 miles from downtown Santa Ana. At one time, on his little 10 acres, where he grew avocados, pears, peaches, and oranges, and took to the produce. He still has his 10 acres, but he's like the little house sitting in downtown New York, and the skyscrapers have been built all around him. He used to grow his marijuana out in his amongst his orange trees. And the first time I went out to his home, I thought, it's just a little rinky-dink home that was built in the 30s. Nice. It was a nice little farmhouse, four-bedroom, 3,000 square foot. It was built for a farmer with five kids. I met him and his wife and his four kids that were living in the house with him, very quietly, out in the middle of nowhere. And I was amazed. Here's a guy in the 1970s growing marijuana all over the place, and you couldn't see it from the sky. You couldn't see it if you drove down the road. But he would get into a marijuana stupor. I called his wife up one time, and she said, "Well, he's kind of out of it," and I knew what that meant. But she could walk into the room where he was located and take two pie plants and slap them together, and he would be up like, who blew the house up? Immediately. And you're trying to tell me that two little boys, 16 years old, could not wake up from a railroad, from a train barreling down on them?
Well, of course, they weren't sleeping. That's just what the coroner said. They were murdered because they had seen
And we've got autopsies from legitimate people that are coroner experts that came in after the fact and proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that these boys were murdered.
Oh, yeah. They witnessed the drug transactions that were occurring.
And who was involved in the drug transactions, ladies and gentlemen?
Slick Willie.
William Jefferson Clinton. Jeb Guy Tucker.
Yep.
And another man that many of you know today. His name sits out there as Senator Richard Pryor. The leaders that you have in Washington, D.C. are nothing but a bunch of criminals. And who else was there? When you dig down and you start looking at the flight patterns of the private jets that were leaving places in Washington, D.C., and places in Texas. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, places in Texas. And looking at the private airfields, they still have to register their flight pattern with the FAA. And there were aircraft flying into this area of Arkansas, and there were dignitaries on this plane that night. And limousine services in Little Rock were leased to go over to Mena, Arkansas, or to Cabot, Arkansas, or Benton, Arkansas, were at private fields. Limousines that cost $100 an hour were dispatched, and they were present. Four of them. You can't tell me that these two boys just stumbled on an active duty governor and a lieutenant governor doing drugs. There had to be a lot more to it, and there was. But nobody wants to talk about it. And those that have dug into that rabbit hole get Arkansas'd. Literally. We've had four reporters that dug into that rabbit hole, brought forth the proof. Two of them talked to me just hours before they were murdered. One was murdered less than a half mile from my office. He had the proof. He wanted to show me the proof for the Arkansas Regional Militia Corps and the United States Militia Corps.
Yeah, and this is going on while people are being thrown out of their homes, which was kind of the question I asked. But
and why?
You covered a lot. Yeah, because of the corruption.
There you go. Because of corruption. They're being thrown out of their homes because we've got million-dollar homes sitting around the United States vacant, owned by banks. I gave you a list the other day that just over in North Carolina, right outside of Charlotte.
Yeah, what people need to understand is when they're buying a house and they're obligating themselves to a mortgage, the bank's not putting up any money. They don't spend any of their money.
No, it's a paper. It's a paper transaction on paper. There's no money missing. It's dots and dashes.
And it gets shifted to another kind of paper and gets lost in cyberspace.
And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, Don, you hit the nail on the head. It gets lost in cyberspace. What's that? There is a bank in France or Germany or Switzerland.
Well, there's Paribas Paribas, they say, in France. There's Deutsche Bank, Commerzbank, or two.
You just mentioned it, Deutsche Bank.
Yes.
Deutsche Bank has lost over 300 lawsuits in the state of Ohio. But you don't see it in the news because the newspapers don't print the fact that the common everyday guy like Bob in Colorado are winning their homes in the courts. Because now there are a few court judges that understand that when you walk in there, a person has got to prove that they have ownership of the house and they have a right to sue for it if under a deed. We got to get away from the fact that just because somebody says you owe us money, prove it. Show me that you have a right to sue me for the fact that I'm late on my payment. Deutsche Bank could not prove ownership, they could not prove title ownership, it wasn't filed in the court, the judges are throwing them out, and the people that live in those homes are still living in their homes 3, 4, 5 years later.
Just last week, two people in
Columbus won their house.
And here's a fact, Drew, that a lot of people aren't aware of. While they're making these payments on their home, and this is before foreclosure ever is an issue, that mortgage has already been given to someone else. You see, this transaction comes about. The foreclosure happens when that owner, that secret owner, is not getting their money. Now, you could say, well, whoever owns the house or whoever put up the money for the house has a right to it, but this is the clincher. There is no document, like you said. There is no official document. It's not done legally. It's done through these mortgage pass-through accounts. And so they take possession of the mortgage, and when you default, they take possession of the property. But it's illegal because you're supposed to have a copy of it, you see? And this, you should even be given the opportunity to work out different terms or to alter the amount of the payments and any of the associated circumstances that might go along with that. So you see, you paid for so many years of living in that house or on that property or owning the property, and you have equity in it. You have equity, and certainly your taxes didn't go down, so your equity can be calculated on the basis of what the property taxes are. Because at the time those taxes are assessed, they're appraising the property. As the taxes go up, the property should rise in value. Should it not, Drew?
Exactly.
Okay? But what people don't know is that they're secretly holding this and they're making money off of it. You see? It's done. It's an illusion. It's a card trick. The way they're doing it. But they put the money in offshore accounts and don't pay taxes on it, and it's not even their money, really. Because the whole thing is a scam. It goes back to that root question, and we're going to have to wrap here, Drew, but I wanted to go back to that root question. Why should we even be talking about people not having a place to live when they've been given life? They've been given the gift of life by the Creator that created this whole universe. Why should they suffer like that? Would
especially
God,
in a society today that we have the capability of growing a renewable resource that God gave us that grows on every part of this planet, with the exception of the Antarctica. The North Pole and the South Pole. But it grows everywhere else, in every climate. And it's hemp. And the hemp is a renewable source that grows abundantly with extremely little water. And the hemp can be used for insulation. The hemp can be converted to a form of wood. The hemp plants can be made into sheeting, into everything known. We don't need to pollute this planet with plastic, with oil. But the hemp could literally save this planet overnight less than a year.
It's even used for food too.
And used for food. There's a guy out there. There's a commercial on blog or BBS radio that promotes the food nutrition of hemp. God gave us His Garden of Eden. But we have powerful men who are destroying God's Eden. And all I can do, ladies and gentlemen, is stand by and pray. Much like I pray and have been praying for the last several days for Don Harkin. We need Don Harkin to come back, and I beseech you to put him in your prayers when you drift off tonight. But to know that Don Harkin has been putting up a great fight for 20 years and bringing forth truth and honor to the right of free speech, of the First Amendment to the Constitution. And we have a right to know what God's real beneficial plans are. And we don't need corrupt men of power to create agencies such as the American Medical Association. The American Medical Association is created for them, for their own self-interest, not for you, not for the American people, not for the people of the rest of the world, especially not the people of Africa. Especially not the people in the reaches of Southeast Asia. We can't move to cities. We should be moving out of cities. We need to get out of cities. There's a movie out there, The Omega Man, from 1971. It kind of gives you the idea that it was a mega war that destroyed the people of the planet. But it was a virus, a disease. And there's other movies, and I'm going to dig them out. There's movies that's been made over the last 5 years that are warning you about diseases and plagues that come forth because of vaccinations that wipe out this planet's population. Yes, there's going to be a few that have a natural immunity. There's going to be a few more that have got immunity because they were sick with a strain of flu, for instance, and they become immune. We need to understand God gave us free will, and there should be no man, no woman, no child that does not have a right to own their own home and possess it fairly. I'll let you have it there, Don. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I understand your passion. It happens to me too. It happened to me last night, in fact. So, you know, I know how you feel. I want to thank you for being on the show tonight, Drew.
I don't know if you're welcome or not, because I missed 2 hours of sleep. No, you really are. I really appreciate coming out and talking to your audience and bringing a perspective that of military men out there, ladies and gentlemen, are willing to stand up if you are willing to stand up. I hear it day in and day out. Military men that know what the Constitution is, know what honor is, they're willing to be on your side. There's a movie called V for Vendetta. At the very end, the people put on the mask, put on the cape, put on the hat, and marched on armed men as Parliament was blowing up. They marched and commingled with the military might of England of that in this movie, in this fictitious play. But that's what's happening right now. The military of America, these are your sons, your daughters, your first cousin, your second cousin, your aunts, your uncles.
Your grandchildren.
You just have to let them know that you're the one out there that they're going to be shooting at if they were to pick up the gun and shoot them. They may be a military man from Maine. They may be a military man from Georgia. They may be a military man from Idaho or California or Texas or Wyoming. But all you've got to do is educate those military men and say, look, you may be a military man here in North Carolina, and you may point the guns at people here in Charlotte or people here in Raleigh, or you may be in Los Angeles, and you may point your guns at those of us here in Watts. But remember this. I've got friends that live in your hometown. It's Schenectady, New York. Those people are up where your brothers in the military are pointing guns at them. Think about them standing up against you in the military. There's more of us, Don, from Vietnam era that are between the age of 58 and 65 that are physically able and a lot more savvy than we were when we were 20. And we're armed and we're ready. And we're talking about over 1,200,000. So those of you in the military, take my words. The people own the government. The people are what you're in the military to protect, instead of being subservient to some fascist organization hell-bent on protecting their oil rights or control of the poppy fields. When you come home from those far-off lands, whether it be Korea, whether it be South America, whether it be Afghanistan or Iraq, you come back here. This is your home. You better not point your guns at the civilians, because there are former military men that are going to be pointing guns right back at you. You fire on civilians, you're going to be fired on. If you're a police officer, you better get right with God, and you better get right with the Constitution, because the American people are fed up with grandmothers being shot and killed inside their own home in Atlanta, Georgia. They're fed up with the ladies being brought in for suspected DUI and beaten to a pulp in Ohio. They're fed up with teenage boys tasered at university dorms and murdered in Colorado and Washington State. They're fed up with men being tasered in LAX and they die because they have a pacemaker. And what was the man in LAX doing? He was just trying to get on a plane to go see his granddaughter. Wake up, America. Wake up, military, because those of you in the military that know the truth, I salute you, because you're going to be on my side. I'm getting the emails. Greg Everson's getting the emails. And all we can ask you to do is grab your Bible and pray and understand George Washington's words from his farewell address. And if you don't know what they are, ladies and gentlemen, Google it. Put it on your internet and read George Washington's farewell address. And if you want some enlightenment, read Robert E. Lee's farewell address. And you will understand men like Dwight David Eisenhower told us, warned us about the military-industrial complex. Men like Teddy Roosevelt warned us about immigrants coming to this nation, and it was their right as God-fearing people to come here, but to assimilate into this land, assimilate and learn that the America was America of one flag, of one language, of one nation, under God, indivisible, with justice and liberty to all. And in parentheses, all means every race, creed, color, and language. May God bless us, and may God protect us, and may God honor those that are about to die, for we salute you. For you will die for the Lord God, for freedom and justice.
Drew, we got to wrap the show. Thank you for that message tonight. Thanks for being on Evident Footprints. And you're going to be with us next week, so I'm looking forward to that.
Are you paying for the airfare?
No, I'm coming there.
Well, you better bring a tent, because I only got one bedroom, and I only share it with me.
I'll sleep out with the crickets and the frogs. How's that?
You're welcome.
I'll bring a fish net with me, too, just for the heck of it.
Well, yeah, we can walk down to the swamp, and I can show you where the brim are.
All right. Drew, we'll see you next week. I want to remind people I'm on Drew's show, I guess, on Mondays now, if that's...
I got you set up for Monday for the rest of the month and next month.
Okay, and then you'll be on Evident Footprints next week. Thanks for being on the show. We got to say goodnight. We want to thank all the people out there on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com for carrying the show, whether it's live or in a rebroadcast archive. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Please pray for Don Harkin's rapid recovery, and we trust that we're going to see a miracle and he's going to be back and putting out the Idaho Observer again. But we need your prayers for that to occur. To all of you in the listening audience, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.